For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl. A new book by former Detroit Free Press sports writer Keith Gave tells the story of how the Detroit Red Wings brought Soviet players to the National Hockey League. Those players helped the team win its first Stanley Cup championship in more than four decades back in 1997. Gave didn't just cover the story at the time, he was an important part of it. Having spent 6 years in the U.S. Army as a Russian linguist eavesdropping on Soviet troops during the Cold War, he helped the team communicate with the players and ultimately defect. Keith Gave will discuss the Russian Five at the Schuller Bookstore in Okemos on Saturday at 2 p.m. and the Schuller Store in Grand Rapids Saturday night at 7. I talk with Keith Gave about his book, The Russian Five. So you're a writer at the time for the Detroit Free Press. I want to ask you about the journalistic ethical issues that you faced when the Red Wings approached you and asked you to help in reaching out to these Russian players and get them to America. What kind of issues were you facing?
Oh, I knew I was on thin ice, Scott. A few weeks after the Wings drafted Sergei Fedorov, I was invited to lunch by Jim Leitz, the executive vice president of the Wings, and at the time, Mike and Marian Ilitch's son-in-law. He was married to Denise, and basically said, we'd like you to do us a favor. And I said, what are you talking about? I can't do you favors. I'm the beat guy for the Free Press covering your team. He said, well, you also speak Russian, and we're willing to pay you a lot of money. And he mentioned six-figure kind of money. It would have been life-changing for a guy on a meager sports writer salary, but he asked me if I would write a letter to Sergei and Vladimir Konstantinov, who they also drafted that year, and write a letter saying, we'd like you to defect. We'll pay you this much money. It was Steve Eiserman kind of money that they were willing to pay them at the time. We'll help you in any way to defect, to come over to Detroit and play hockey. And I said, Jim, there's really no way I can do that. I work for the Free Press. Be putting my job on the line. And so he said, okay, enough said. Then that was the end of the conversation. We finished our lunch and left. And, Scott, I thought about it, anguished over it for several days. And I called Lights back and I said, there might be a way we can do this. And he said, how's that? And I said, I'm not going to take any of your money. I don't want any money at all. But I would do this if you agreed to when these guys defect and come over to Detroit to play hockey, I want to be the first one for that story, to get that story in the Detroit Free Press for my readers of the newspaper. And I want to be the first one to talk with them. I want first dibs on everything related to these guys when they come over. And he said, deal. And so I did it. I went over there my biggest cloak and dagger assignment, and was able to pass along a message very covertly in a kind of a fake interview with these guys at an arena in Helsinki, Finland, and I pass along the message. About 10 months later, I'm set at my table having dinner in suburban Detroit, and my phone rang, and it was Jim Leitz. It said, Keith, and I said, yeah. I said, this is Jim Leitz. Guess who I'm sitting next to? I'm on Mr. Ilitch's plane coming back to Detroit from Portland, Oregon. Guess who's sitting next to me? And I said, who's that? And he said, Sergei Fedorov. So I pushed my plate away. I got my notebook out. I started taking notes. And very, very quickly, because I was on deadline at the time, I wrote a story that was on page one above the fold in the Free Press the next morning, a Russian hockey star coming to Detroit to play for the Red Wings. And so the Wings upheld their end of the bargain. A few days later, I interviewed Sergei, got first crack at that story. And the rest is history. I made a deal. Again, ethically, I was in a precarious position. But I know that beat guys make deals with their sources all the time, whether you're covering politics, sports, education. I don't care what your beat is. You make deals with sources all the time. And I read enough stories, books about, espionage books, even books written by the writers from the New York Times, Washington Post, the AP, who had been over in Moscow for their long assignments, being caught in the middle, passing messages back and forth between, operatives from the CIA and the KGB. That stuff happens quite frequently. I was in the middle of something. I did it, and I have to live with the consequences. Would I do it all over again if I had the chance? I'd think long and hard about it, but I probably would.
You know, I want to point out to listeners that maybe aren't sports fans that your book could still be of interest if they're into cloak and dagger stuff, spy novels, that kind of thing. This is real life cloak and dagger stuff that got these players out of Russia.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we talk about this book being a sports book. In some places, it's anything but a sports book. When you think about, when people read about what Igor Aryanov and Slava Fetisov did in kicking down the Iron Curtain, standing up to the Soviet Iron Fist that ran the Hockey Federation, that ran the Soviet Red Army Hockey Club at the time, it's pretty remarkable. Each of those guys went public. Igor Larionov wrote a 7,500-word indictment of the Soviet hockey system and the Red Army in particular, and how the players were treated, that was presented in a sports magazine called Oganyok, that led to his exile from the team for a while. And shortly after that, Slava Fetisov again stood up to the regime, to the powers. He too was exiled. Slava Fetisov was actually sent away from the hockey team, back and told to put on the uniform of a Central Red Army soldier. He held the rank of major. He actually put a major's uniform on, was told to cut his haircut and sit behind a desk. And I asked him one time, what kind of job did you do? What did you do when you had to go back to the Army? He said, nothing. I just sat at my desk for 8 hours and then went home. So what these guys went through to really open the doors so that younger players could eventually come over here in the early to mid-90s, it was pretty remarkable. Each one of these five guys, Scott, every one of them is a made-for-Hollywood movie. Every one of them. And we roll them all into one book and try and tell a pretty good story.
You've chosen a passage from the book that kind of helps convey the idea of how cloak and dagger this stuff was. Can you do that right now?
Well, yeah, I have something here, a few paragraphs that about when Jim Devolano drafted Sergei Fedorov to get this thing started. It begins, nevertheless, when the 1989 draft had ended, Devolano was beside himself with unabashed and unabridged joy. I'm bleeping ecstatic, he said. You want to know why? Because today we drafted the best young hockey player in the entire bleeping world, and we got him in the fourth bleeping round. His name is Sergei Fedorov, and wait till you see him play. Later, in the 11th round, Detroit used the 221st pick among 252 overall to select defenseman Vladimir Konstantinov, the captain of the Red Army Club. But drafting these players was the easy part. Now all we have to do, Devolano said, is figure a way to get them out of here.
Pretty amazing stuff.
And the kicker is, that's where I came in, though I didn't know it at the time.
So the Hall of Fame coach, Scotty Bowman, ultimately, when he gets all five of these guys on the team at the same time, he decides to play them together. The unit becomes known as the Russian Five. The on-ice communication between players makes a lot of sense, but they were also all terrific players, and ultimately the Red Wings won their first Stanley Cup since 1955 in 1997.
Yes. I give Scotty Bowman all the credit in the world. I'm grateful to him, thankful for him that he was able to make some pretty controversial trades to acquire Slava Tisov first and Igor Larionov then and have five of them to put together. The one thing Scotty Bowman knew from coaching against the Russians for a lot of his career was that they like to play in five-man units, as opposed to North America, where they play three forwards, two defensemen. You mix and match, change units, in the middle of a game, and so on. The Russians swap five men out at a time. He got these guys together and changed the NHL, changed the way the game was played in North America, and the league has not been the same since. It's been a better hockey league ever since, because everybody saw what Detroit was doing and everybody tried to mimic it. And it wasn't just the Russian Five. They didn't always play together, Scott. He often broke them up, and these guys played with other players on the team all the time. All those other players saw their skills improve. They understood, they began to understand the importance of puck possession. Not just dump it in the other end and chase after it and hit somebody and try and get the puck back and set up a play. The Russians didn't do that. They kept the puck all the time. You talk to Brendan Shanahan and Steve Yzerman, about playing against the Russian five in just a typical practice, a daily practice. And they complain about it. You go on a shift for 45 seconds and never touch the puck because they have it all the time. Teams in the NHL in those years when the Russian five played together, they hated to play against the Detroit Red Wings because they never got to touch the puck. Detroit had it all the time. And that's what changed the game in the NHL.
1997, the Red Wings win the Stanley Cup. Very short time later, they want to celebrate together. And as a precaution, they rent a limousine. The limousine is involved in a terrible accident. And the accident results in injuries that end the careers of Vladimir Konstantinov and team masseuse Sergei Manatsakhanov. You felt that personally, knowing these men individually. Tell us about the aftermath of that accident.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that that first celebration of the winning the Stanley Cup in 1997, a pretty special moment when Steve Yzerman took the Stanley Cup and skated it around the ice like the captains do traditionally after the commissioner of the league hands him the Stanley Cup, and the first thing he did when he made his lap around was look for somebody to give the cup to. Whoever the captain hands the cup off to next tells you a lot about your hockey team. And Yzerman looked for Slava Vatisov, and he skated over to Slava and he gave him the Stanley Cup. And Slava looked around and he looked for Igor Larionov. He said, "Igor, come with me." And the two older Russians, the two great Russians, skated the Stanley Cup around the ice at Joe Louis Arena together. It was a really an amazing moment for global hockey. And you're right. That was the beginning of an incredible summer of joy, what should have been a summer of joy. 42 years in the making, Scott. They finally win a Stanley Cup. The party lasts for 6 days. The team had gotten together at a golf course in suburban Macomb County. They spent the day with a Stanley Cup golfing, one last day together to parade the Stanley Cup around. After the golf course, they had dinner. They were going to some of their favorite watering holes and so on. And you're right, they did. They took all the necessary precautions. They hired 7 limousines so that they could, kind of divide up, several guys in each car and drive around and make sure that nobody was drinking and driving and doing anything that might have, caused some trouble, trying to be safe and do the right thing. The Russians, 3 of the Russians, Slava Vatisov, Igor Larionov, and the team massage therapist, Sergei Manatsakhanov, were in one limo. They'd left a little bit early. And the limo driver driving southbound on Woodward Avenue, about 16 miles north of where they had a parade just a few days earlier, fell asleep. The limo left the roadway, hit a big maple tree there in really downtown Birmingham, and there ended the summer of joy right there. Everything faded to black. And even as a player, say at that very moment, the Stanley Cup that had been the center of their universe, the thing that was most important to them, suddenly meant nothing, because their comrades, their teammates, were fighting for their lives at a hospital in Royal Oak.
Keith Gave is the author of The Russian Five, a story of espionage, defection, bribery, and courage. Keith, tell me about the documentary film that accompanies your book.
Yeah, the documentary film will premiere where it should, as far as I'm concerned. It was my suggestion all along. The film's going to premiere at the Detroit Free Press Film Festival on April 11th at the Fillmore Detroit Theater. I have credits as a writer producer. The film company, film group that wanted to put this thing together called me about probably 4 years ago now. Young director Joshua Reel, he's from Port Huron, big Wings fan, and thought this might make a documentary. He called first Jim Leitz because he knew that Leitz was a big had a big hand in the early defections of these 3 young players. And Leitz says, "Well, if you're going to do anything, you got to talk to Keith Gave." And so Joshua found me, and we started talking, and I said I'm in. I'll help out as much as I can. My role in that whole thing as a producer was to was credibility with the Russian players, with the Red Wings, and so on. And you know, we met with all the Russian players when they were at the Winter Classic outdoor hockey game that they played against the Toronto Maple Leafs in the beginning. I think it was the beginning of 2015. The five Russians reunited there at Comerica Park for that outdoor game. And after the game, we were able to go in and talk with not with Vladimir Konstantinov, obviously, but with the other four, all agreed to be part of this film. And that's when I started to get serious about, you know, kicking this book out as well, because I knew I'd have a chance to talk with all these guys again and a lot of other people, Scotty Bowman, Steve Eisman, Brendan Shanahan, and so on, and really kind of update and refresh all my notes and give me something to write about. And by being involved in the Russian Five documentary, like I was, it helped me get everything I needed to put together the book, The Russian Five.
Keith Gave, thank you.
My pleasure, Scott. Thank you very much.
For WKAR News, I'm Scott Pohl.